Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 20th of July. I am joined in the studio today by my fabulous co-host. Oh, dear.
You got your right teeth in today.
Yeah, no, obviously not. They always are out on a Friday.
Those lovely pearlies smiling at me.
Is that a new name for you? Co-host. the wonderful Mark Goldfinch.
Hello, Amanda. Hello,
good
everybody.
Morning. Welcome.
Hello, Doug.
And our guest today is Doug Chapman, who is the keeper of Dode.
Hello.
Becky told me to call you the keeper, not the owner.
What an amazing job title.
The keeper of Dode. And we have got some fantastic, fantastic stories to hear from Doug in a little while about the lost village of Dode.
Keeping an abandoned village. Yes. It's full of history and full of mystery.
It's fun.
It's fun, exactly. This week's show sponsors. Oh yeah, it's going to be one of those shows. Sponsors.
It was all going so well.
Turn the button up. It's always the case. Turn the mics on and off we go. This week's show sponsor are the lovely, fabulous guys at Clear Cut Venues, run by Amy Nicholas. So it's at Clear Cut Venues on the Twitter. If you're looking for a venue for your event, Amy can find it for you. She's fantastic. She knows all the right places, and if she doesn't know them, she'll find them for you. So check her out. We want to hear from you. We've got a lot of activity on the Twitter again. You know, we're catching up with Paul's trillions.
Is it zillions below trillions or trillions below zillions?
I don't know. But we're getting lots anyway.
We're getting lots.
Lots of activity.
Yes, there is.
So if we do want to carry on hearing from you, so please do tweet us today during the show at Bunk Extra with an X, using hashtag BExtra and BBunker, and we want to hear from you. And if you want to, and you feel like it, give us a call in the studio. Last week, Mark, we had our first phone call. Somebody phoned on air.
Did you have to sort of get the cobwebs and the spiders off the telephone?
Well,
he had to
tweet and say, look at the phone, because it doesn't ring, it flashes. He went, the phone's flashing, and I was like, oh, I've got to answer the phone.
So, I haven't even seen it. Is it like one of those red bat
yes.
phones?
Yes. I mean, basically, the phone is here, and you have to flash it.
I can see it now. I can actually see it illuminating that side. It's like a. It is actually like the bat phone in the 1960s. Batman.
It's fabulous, but I was very very excited that the phone rang and we answered it. So we do want to hear from you. So tell you what to do. Give us a call on 01233 220035, 01233 220035.
And we probably can arrange a taxi for you. Yes.
and a pizza. Then we can't, Mark. Don't give them the wrong ideas. The people will be phoning up for all sorts. You can also email us at bunkerextra@gmail.com if you would like to come on the show. If you have got an event to shout about, we like telling people about the amazing events that are coming up within the UK. So do give us an email and let us know.
Don't forget, you can also find us on Facebook as Amanda, and you're sharing it on Facebook, and also on LinkedIn.
Absolutely, we are there. On last week's show, I was joined in the studio by a marvellous Molly Wright from Molly Moodle Media. It was a very lively show.
It was, yeah. Well, with Molly Moodle Wright, it's going to be lively, isn't
always.
It? It's always going to be
and
lively.
And our guest was Aaron Taylor, who is co-founder of 62 Tech.
Seriously clever guy. Yeah, really,
fantastic,
really clever guy.
Guy.
I love his work.
We had really good in-depth conversations about
Websites.
Exactly, funnily enough. But it was great. So
he knows a lot about
he does, and he knows his stuff. And it was quite interesting because he was saying he doesn't, you know, people go to him and the first thing he'll ask him is, why do they want a website and do they need the website? And sometimes he talks people out of actually having a website because they're at the stage in their business, they don't necessarily need a website. So anyway, it was a great show. So if you want to listen to that, it's available, as are all the previous shows, on bizradio.co.uk. Click on the extra tab and there it is. You can be there forever and ever more.
Yeah, and how many? It's 54 now, I think. 55.
No, it's more than that. We're on 60-something now.
Oh, my goodness. 64,
65.
When you're enjoying yourself.
Well, exactly, exactly.
Yourself.
Yes. We have had quite a few.
Congratulations, Amanda.
Yeah, we're getting there. I love it. Yeah. It's so much fun. We've had loads of shout-outs, so let's have a couple of those before we get to finding out about the lost village of Dode.
Right. So, Here we go. Spy Smasher PM, Bjorn Haynes, who has tweeted on the Twitter, "Hi, Bunker Extra. Could I have a shout out for Spy Smasher Process Management and Fruit Bowl, now capable of delivering process management and training through a single platform? Also, if any trainers want to deliver their content via the platform, contact at 365_Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, to work with us." So that's Bjorn Haynes, Spice Smasher, PM.
Morning, Bjorn. We've had a shout-out request from the lovely Tenterton Twilets.
Very clean.
Twilets, from Laura, always very clean. And she says, "Hi, Amanda and Molly." So I'm going to call you Molly for the rest of the show now, Mark. It's close.
I don't think I can speak as quickly as Molly. So no? I'll try.
It would be quite a task to be able to do that. And she's saying, "I hope you have a great show." Thank you very much, Laura. I hope you enjoy listening. Who else have we got? Fruitworks. "Good morning, Amanda. Bunker Extra. Could I have a Bunker Extra B Bunker shout out, please? Fruitworks are expanding." Heard it here first.
And we're going to do this. Obviously, lots of events coming up. So we'll do those towards the end of the show. Mm. But Business Diaries and the lovely Lisa Settle have also asked for a shout out. Yes, please. Next Business Diaries Storytelling is the 13th of September. Tickets are now on sale via Eventbrite, just a tenner for an entertaining evening, including refreshments. And that's the Business Diaries at Medway Innovation Centre.
Yeah, we have got more details about that as well later, which is great. So good morning to Lisa and the team. Good morning to Athelbrae, who are winding down before...
Are they still in the country?
They are at the moment, but they're sailing off to Norway on Sunday. They're off again.
Norway, at this time of year, absolutely glorious.
Is it lovely?
Absolutely glorious. Well, obviously, you've got sort of... So much light in the mornings and evenings, so little night, and nice and warm.
Lovely. So they're off there to celebrate 30 years of wedded bliss. Has it been completely 30 years of wedded bliss? Come on, Laura, you can be honest now. Nobody's listening. Tell us the truth. Has it been 30 years of wedded bliss, or just one or two wedded days of wedded bliss? And
I don't know. This is going to be a theme of this show, isn't it? Weddings. So the weddings.
Yeah, exactly. But it is, as you say, it's really important to have some downtime, even a deck chair in the garden with a good book can relax and refresh. Doesn't have to cost a fortune, but worth its weight in gold. Mm-hmm. Summertime, definitely enjoy the sun, or today enjoy the rain.
Yes, it was raining. I had to find the windscreen wipers on the way here.
A bit of rain going on. But thank you for your shout outs, and it's great to hear from you. Keep them coming in as we go through the show. We will read out a few more a bit later, and we'll say hello, good morning to Megan at 6-2 and Aaron at 6-2 and Emily Pink Spag _ Emily on the Twitter. Oh, and I have to say hello, a good shout out and hello to our new listener, a new follower, Sean Lloyd.
Sean
Lloyd, fan page. But they follow us. We've got Sean Lloyd, fan page, following us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So that's quite exciting.
Also, I think my sister might be listening today. And also, I think have a pen friend who's an Iraqi lady, but she is now currently living in Australia. And she translated my biography into Arabic a couple of weeks ago. So I just wanted to say thank you very much, Azhar, for that.
We are global people. Everyone can listen to us.
Global Business Extra.
The joy of the internet. That is great. And we have got a picture of Bjorn, put a lovely picture of him and Gemma, because they're celebrating the 10th wedding anniversary this year. Well, Thursday it was. So happy anniversary for you guys. You look so lovely. I wish I could have known you back then to come to your wedding. I bet it was an amazing wedding. So always when they do family things, they've got hundreds of people who always go. So.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, we can talk. We have an expert here about weddings.
Wedding, exactly. So that leads us nicely on to Doug.
It's a good segue to Doug, yes.
Doug, thank you so much for joining us today. So you are described as the keeper of Node.
Yes.
And so for those people that don't know, it's actually the full name, isn't it? The Lost Village of Node.
It's the Lost Village of Node, basically because there was a village there.
Yeah.
In 1348, 1349, it was destroyed in the Black Death.
Right, okay.
And all we have left now, apart from the sort of the land, is the church, the Norman church that sort of sits there and looks after the remains of the village.
Yeah. See, now I have this sort of vision.
Where can I just ask, because I know Kent pretty well, but I'm actually from...
And you don't know where it is, do you?
No. I looked it on a map, so I do know, but for the benefit of the listeners... Whereabouts? Kent is a big place. You know, we've got hills, we've got coastline, we've got a little place called London at one end of it, and then France at the other end. And it's like, whereabouts in
Kent is sort of North Kent, basically. And how we describe it is lost in the North Downs, and it truly is lost.
Nestling.
We call it the Lost Village of Dode for two reasons. One, that it's no longer there. And secondly, that people have awful trouble finding it.
So,
we have great fun. We give explicit instructions as to how to get there, and that sort of ends with, well, when you think you're lost, you're within about half a mile.
Oh, good, okay.
It adds to the mystery. I mean, I did something on radio some time ago, and they said, can you tell me where it is? And I said, no, otherwise it wouldn't be lost. But very simply, if you think sort of Mepham or Lansdowne, if you're familiar with that sort of area, and then you drive about 4 miles up a single track road with parking bays. Eventually, and then you go up a no-through road, you find us on the right-hand side.
But so Mepham area.
The sort of Mepham area.
Don't give too much away.
So you have the Medway Valley, and then this is just on the downs, just slightly on the west side of the Medway.
I sort of found Dode almost by accident, or it found me, as people say. I like other people to find it in the same way that you
discover.
You just discover it. I mean, obviously, on our website, we've got directions as to how to get there, etc. You've got to drive up the journey there, down a beautiful valley, which is sort of used by an organic farm. It's wonderful. I think the journey getting there is part of the, as with so many things, the journey is part of the process, definitely, not just the end result.
Do you have many people arriving by helicopter these days?
We won't allow it.
Oh, okay.
There's three things we won't allow. Helicopters, hot air balloons.
Drones.
Although I used to have one. Fireworks.
Okay.
Look, this is a quiet place. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a quiet place, and that's how I want it to remain.
So let's go back, because I always had this envision when I heard of the Lost Village of Dode, that it just vanished overnight. They woke up and the whole village was gone.
Isn't there a mystery that it only appears every couple of years on a foggy November morning or something?
That's the well, Mark.
Okay. the magic well.
Not the whole village.
The magic well comes and goes, yeah.
Okay.
But the village, no. I mean, there is no village. It was a little village of about 100 people, what you'd call a dispersed settlement, ran up the valley. It was there, we know, from Saxon times, when a man called Dudda owned the land. And Dudda, if you want to be nerdy about this now, his name to Dudda's Land, which became Dudda's Land, which became eventually Dode.
Ah.
And he was there in late Saxon times. Mm-hmm. I guess the experts say there was a church there then, which was then replaced by the Normans in about 1100, maybe a man called Gundulf, who was the Bishop of Rochester. We think he possibly had it built for a very simple reason, that Rochester Cathedral is about 7 miles to the north, and his palace at Trosley is seven miles to the south.
Okay.
I like to think of it as a sort of a happy eater. You know, this Norman.
I was going to say rest stop.
This Norman warrior bishop went up there, and halfway along, he, comfort break, if you want.
Comfort break.
So he stopped there.
Decided to pop a little church there.
This little church sort of served the village of Dode, as I say, dispersed settlement for about 250 years, and then the Black Death came along. And within a year or two, so the story goes, everybody had either died. The story is that everybody did die, but I don't believe that. The village depopulated like so many others in the country. And it was just abandoned. It was very simple. The church, which was well built, walls 3 feet thick, remained. The roof eventually fell in. And it was just completely abandoned. And it stayed like that for 650 odd years.
So I guess it was a ruin in woodland. Because the woodland would have grown around it. How did people really know of it? Was it sort of in folklore, or was it rediscovered? Or was it always known about locally?
Yeah.
people had superstitions about it. There's a chapel on between that Ringwald, between Dover and Deal, which has similar resonance, but not to the extent that Dode does.
No, I mean, you can sum that up quite easily, Mark. Basically, I read about Dode when I was sort of in my perhaps late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. Whenever I was in that area, I would drive around and try to find it, and I never did. It wasn't until 30 years ago, when I was then sort of in my 50s, late 40s, that I saw an advert that said it was for sale, and I just said to my wife, could she get the, shows how long ago it is now, faxing. I said, could you get the agents to fax the details of this? This little church I've always been interested in is now for sale. And so we did, and that weekend we just sort of drove up there. No wonder I couldn't find it. It was sort of, as I say, up a no-through road for a long, long way, and it was completely hidden with woods. So now we've cleared the woods so that we've opened the church back up to the valley, and so that it can see.
Was your wife understanding at the time, or did she sort of let you get out of the car and then basically shut the doors and drive off?
No. Essentially,
more kind-hearted than that.
You've got to bear in mind this was midwinter, December. We've pulled up in the middle of nowhere in a place we've never been before, mm-hmm. and it's cold. It's miserable. And there's this sort of ruin that appears through a load of trees and brambles. And so I go sort of traipsing in there. Fascinated, personally. Mary, my wife, followed me up to a point. I think she crawled through the hole in the grill that was sort of then a door.
Yeah.
And took one look at it, and sort of she then vanished.
She was lost as well.
she wasn't going to stay in there, you know, sort of water dripping down through the roof.
No.
It was a mess, but a good-looking mess. It was that simple. So initially she wasn't very understanding. I loved it. I fell in love with it. There was no business venture, no nothing. I just loved it.
So what was it about it loved you? Because obviously you had interest in this, in the church for a long time.
Not specifically in the church, although I had tried to find it, but I'm interested in archaeology. I'm interested in ancient things. My job was, as a childhood surveyor, was telling people how to restore ancient buildings.
Right.
A big chunk of my job.
Was that based in Kent?
No, it was in Maidstone.
In Maidstone,
yeah.
Okay.
But all I ever did was... all I ever wanted to do was to be involved with old buildings.
Well, that's funny, because obviously I was just going to sort of say, what was it that got you into wanting to be involved in the building? So your work in life was dealing with old buildings, basically.
Love at first sight with a building. I suppose that's better. It stopped me doing other things perhaps I shouldn't have been doing, so there you go.
But you had the technical knowledge to go, well, actually,
yes,
I love this, so my heart is singing to me that I this building has found me, or I found this building, but my head also says, well, I can do something with this. My technical skills and the technical skills, the drawing and the planning, and
you could basically visualize
knowledge and materials.
Yeah.
So you can actually see that you could actually make something of this.
It held no terrors for me.
That's a big thing.
It was a building that I didn't have to think. It's, also, it's very simple. It's just sort of four walls and a roof. A very pretty four walls and a very pretty roof.
Yeah, I've seen a picture. Yeah, it's exquisite.
Pretty cool place. But it was simple. It had no electricity, no water, no anything. We still haven't. We still got no real communication with the outside world through the internet or anything up there. We don't particularly, to be honest with you, want that.
It's okay. There are people in towns in Kent who don't have good internet.
Yes,
but that's part of the, I guess that's the part of the appeal of it, though, and it keeps the mystique of the village and the church that it's...
I think the story is great. It's no different to any other story of any other villages that were destroyed, and the people's story is the same to many degrees. What I like is really I can just be there, and all of that history is then around me. Sometimes it becomes palpable.
You mentioned other towns and other villages which were abandoned, you know, in the UK or in England through the Black Death. Mm. Do you do some twinning with any of them? Because there must be people who sort of look after these, or
no,
English Heritage, or somebody who kind of look after these. Are there any sort of twinning opportunities?
Yeah, interesting point. No is the simple answer. The more complex answer is that many people have come to Dode and sort of said, this reminds me of, for argument's sake, Little Gidding, which mm-hmm. is a place, I think, in Cambridgeshire. I did go and visit it. Not necessarily, excuse me, in the physical sense, but more in the spiritual sense, and they take something from it. This is like St. Peter on the Wall in Essex. Mm. And so, although we don't have any sort of official twinning, there is a sort of a feeling amongst a lot of people that this is one of those special places.
Because I think there's, it's thinking about this with a business head, because obviously it's a business show, and we'll get onto the nuts and bolts of the wedding business as the show progresses. But one of the things I was thinking about was actually, you know, having these networks of people who love these places around the country. It means that people who visit them can be steered to other, well, I wouldn't say similar places, but, places that have a resonance and have a, you know, you mentioned one yourself, St. Peter on the Wall in Essex.
Yeah.
And that was on a show, I think it was on Coast or something, or the ITV equivalent of Coast, quite recently, where they went and they showed it. And again, that's Roman and Saxon.
No, I've never been there, but I like you, I've seen it on the telly, and there really is a. It's obviously, if you like, still abandoned. It isn't used on a regular basis, as far as I'm aware, and it very much reminds me of Dode because it is abandoned. And when I bought it, it was a shell, and I still sometimes hanker for that shell.
That's because they're going to say. How much work did you have to do, and sort of what did you have to do to?
We spent 7 years putting it back together.
Right, so it's quite a long time.
It had lost most of its tiles on its roof, although the roof had been restored in the about 1905, so about 100 years before.
Mm.
We spent 7 years putting it back together. I quite like a bit of carpentry. Got a little workshop, made up lots of benches and shutters and all sorts of things for it. And obviously, at some stage, we had to put in things like electricity and water.
Oh, yeah.
And more recently, we've actually put a toilet in. It's quite something.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh,
there
you go. So
I guess when you bought it, did you buy it with the business head in mind, thinking that we can do something with this? Or was it literally because you loved it and you saw it as a project for you to restore and just with it what you will?
For all my life, I've worked for other people. Mm. And when other people, although I was meant to be or was the expert and knew how to do these things, you'd always got somebody behind you who was signing the checks, as they used to do. And so to a degree, it was never yours. You could advise them, you could get all the various trades in, you could do the planning side of everything, but it was never, there was always somebody in effect pulling your string, and that's the way life is. Mm-hmm. Nobody pulls my string at Dode. I bought it for me. I bought it because I loved it. We had no idea what to do with it. It wasn't until we'd finished the restoration of it some 7 or 8 years later that the national press got hold of this story. I don't know how they did it. We didn't feed it to them. There's this idiot in Kent who's purchased the Norman church and spent the last 7 years and a considerable amount of his own money in restoring it, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And that was the Easter resurrection story.
Oh, really?
It came out on the Wednesday and the Thursday. The Times did a half page. The Independent did a centre spread 2 pages of it. Even the Sun and various other, and the television sort of carried it. And that was on the Wednesday and the Thursday. And the Friday, people started to arrive. And over that 4-day holiday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, about 2,000 people turned up.
No. Goodness. Wow.
And now that to me was terrifying. Yeah. Don't forget, I said it's 5 miles up a single track.
Yeah.
is traffic it quite jam. Close to the Pilgrim's Way?
It's not a million miles away, about a mile.
Oh, about a mile.
About a mile, as the crow flies. Yeah. But, okay. I mean, the Pilgrim's Way is a the equivalent of the M1 compared with where we are. essentially, I had no, to answer your question, I had no preconceived ideas as to what to do.
Mm.
During that 4 days, a number of people actually asked to be, I think there were four couples, actually asked me, could we be married here? Oh. And of course I said no. well, there was no machinery at that stage. That you either got married in a register office or a church, whichever you wanted. But the Marriage Act that applies to what we're talking about hadn't come in. So we just said no. And then the interesting sort of my life, series of coincidences, and that's the way it works with me, always has worked with me. Within a few weeks, I think, the law changed that you could actually then marry people. So this idiot who'd spent a long time restoring a Norman church and has no regrets about that at all, or had no regrets about it, suddenly found that not only had we got people who wanted something that we had, i.e. they wanted to use dough to get married, but we now had the legal machinery
to do it.
So I approached the Kent County Council. And that in itself is another story. I was a few weeks after that all happened. We were in Australia at a friend's daughter's wedding up in the Blue Mountains, a place called Hartley. And at the reception, I said to my friend, Del, the place that you chose for Steffi's wedding, it reminds me of Dode. And he said, well, why do you think we did it, mate? So on the way home, I said to my wife, said to Mary, if people in Australia can choose the other side of the world, something because it reminds them of Dode, we've got the real thing.
Absolutely.
Recently, people have been asking to get married there. And now the law says they can. So we approached the Kent County Council, and after a lot of trepidation, a lot of problems, all dealt with very good humour. For argument's sake, we've got lots of candles, naked torches, so torches really burning real flames. Mm-hmm. And we've got straw on the floor.
Yep.
You can imagine what someone from the local authority said when they walked in.
Help and safety.
And the fire officer, the very first thing he said because we needed a fire certificate, and we're going back now 20 years almost. I think he walked through the door, he looked at because I'd lit everything, and there's no point pulling any punches. The straw was on the floor, and he walked through the door, he looked at me, he said, you've applied for a fire certificate, you're having a laugh. Perhaps I was having a laugh, but no, it's what people wanted to do.
It's amazing.
So, just a series of coincidences that seem to have, to a degree, have worked out okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
well done. As fortune favours the bold.
It is, definitely. Well, we have come to the half point of our show, so really? I know, it just flies by. So basically, looking back, the church that's currently standing is from the 11th. No, I get my timing wrong. It's 11th. What century?
It'll be from the 12th.
But from the 12th century. It was 1100.
It's right on the cusp, isn't it?
Is it 11th? Is it 12th?
Built in 1100.
Built in the 1100s. From a village that's been there a long time that was lost because of the Black Death, basically dissipated. And 30 years ago, you had an inkling to want to buy it. And you did. Basically, that simple. You're listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 with me, Amanda Flanders. My co-host today is the marvellous Mark Goldfinch.
Hello.
And we are talking with Doug Chapman, who is the keeper of Dode. We're going to have a small, short musical interlude, and then we're going to be back afterwards and find out how Doug does with his weddings these days. I did choose this song for two reasons. One, it's raining, and two, there's men in the studio, so sorry guys.
It's raining.
Hi, we're your weather girl, and have we got news for you. jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 on Friday, the 20th of July. It is nearly the end of July already.
My birthday was on Wednesday.
Of course, we forgot to say that earlier. Yeah, happy birthday for Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm joined in the studio, as you can hear, by my co-host, Mark Goldfinch, and our guest is Doug Chapman, who is the keeper of Dode. And we have just been hearing a bit of the history of the lost village of Dode. It's not, as I thought, vanished. I had visions of aliens or just vanishing. And I love Mark's idea that, you know, on certain Sundays in the winter, you know, in the mist you can see the village. But that's not true, is it?
Well, no. But the time I really love about that, in actual fact. I don't like the winters very much.
No.
Per se.
No.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't like that.
Nope.
Don't like the dark.
Same here.
What I do like is sometimes being up there when it is misty. And, you know, there's nothing around there. All of a sudden, you can't quite see the church from down at the bottom of the land. And it suddenly comes and then goes again. And there's something ethereal about that.
It is.
And it vanishes.
And I guess there must be quite a lot of legends or stories, at least, around the village. Does it not attract quite a lot of...
ghost hunters?
Well, I'm thinking that sort of that type of people that are interested in possibly weird happenings, I suppose, is the best way to put it.
Well, I suppose we get quite a number of inquiries from sort of psychic research people, etc., etc., that sort of thing.
You have those TV shows that come in to want to sort of
I really don't. I don't get involved in that. I don't particularly want to get involved in that, to be honest, Mark. I give you...
But you've had inquiries.
I'll give you a really sort of good example. You're talking about the vanishing village, if you like. A couple of examples about how rural or urban legends start. Mm-hmm. There is a well that was covered over, which we uncovered many years ago, and I built a well head around it because I thought it'd be a lovely feature, the old village well. Could be back to Roman times, in actual fact, because there's, you know...
Well,
it goes back further.
Chalk. Nice and clean water.
Yeah, it was. So we uncovered the well and built a well head around it. Basically, it was in the way. I didn't really think this through. It was in the very small gravel car park that we've got. So... my wife and I were off to Oz. I asked the man who looks after our property and management and stuff, would he mind demolishing the well, not filling it in or anything like that, but just taking away the well head and putting a concrete slab down and re-graveling it. Well, the week before he did it, some lady apparently went along there and saw the well. And there's talk, is this a holy well or is this, you know, a special well? It's a hole in the ground where they got their water, for goodness sake. You know, anyway, she went along and she photographed it. And she was so impressed with it that she went back the next week to take her friends and show them the holy well of Dode. Within that week, Steve had actually demolished the well head, put a concrete slab over and put the gravel over, so you couldn't even see where it was. And so all of a sudden on the internet we have the vanishing
I love that.
Now, the interesting thing was a little while after that we married a couple, and his job was making props for films out of polystyrene and all sorts of things. And we did sort of vaguely discuss making a polystyrene wellhead and popping it out one day and taking it away the next day so it really wound people up. But that's how those sort of things start, you know, if you want to talk about the legends briefly. Another one was that I was up there one about this time of year, about 9 o'clock, just as it was beginning to get dark, up past nine, and a car pulled up, and a couple of young lads, a couple of young girls, the young lads sort of peered out, and the girls climbed out the roof of the car, and sort of, yeah, mate, is this the lost village of Dode? So I said, yeah, this Dode Church, then? Yeah, why? Oh, we come to see the headless horse. I said, I'm sorry, come to see the headless horse, mate. What do you mean? We haven't got a headless horse. Headless horse, I don't know. Yeah, it's all over Gravesend and Medway Towns. So there's a headless horse. And they were sort of peering over the gate and looking at me. And I'm just standing there talking to them. And all of a sudden, they sort of squawked. I won't say, I can't say what they actually said. But there it is. And they drove off as fast as they possibly could. I mean, they were clearly terrified. Oh. Now, I turned round, wondering what they'd been looking at over my shoulder. And at that time, in the field next door, very close to the church, there was a horse. It was a white horse. His name was Bo. And he had obviously heard the commotion and come up to see what was happening. It's the middle of the summer. It's a hot day, dark, almost dark. He's wearing a hood to keep the flies off. The hood is black. They saw a headless horse.
Oh, I love it.
I saw Bo just wearing a black hood because I knew that's what it was. But that's how these things sort of start. I'm sure all the other legends started in just some mundane sort of way. But yeah, I like the fact there are legends going back hundreds of years. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's good. So you were saying before, obviously, you hadn't really, when you bought it, it wasn't looking at it as a business investment and what could happen. But as turn of events happened over a big course of time, it has now become a wedding venue, and you service weddings there quite regularly. Do you have quite a lot of weddings going through?
We hold weddings from the 1st of April until the end of October.
All right.
And then we close for November. And we also then open up for the first 3 weeks up to the 23rd of December, and then we close again round until the 1st of April. Mm. So basically it's principally the summer months and Christmas. It makes sense on a number of for a number of reasons. One
was there a famous story of the snow from a few years ago?
I mean,
a few logistical problems with the bride.
We've had some lovely sort of stories, we had a carol concert. It was the 18th of December. I remember it well for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. And the forecast was for very heavy snow. And after the carol concert, about 9 o'clock, people were leaving, saying cheerio, happy Christmas, all the usual thing. We have a carol concert. It's very, very well attended every year. I said to my wife, I think I'll stay here, because by then we'd built a small retreat building alongside. I'll stay in the retreat because we've got a wedding tomorrow. I think there's going to be a problem.
Be on site.
I said, if no one can get here, the candles will be alight, the heating will be on, Dode will be ready to receive the guests. Mm-hmm. And so, to cut a long story sort of short, it snowed hard. And the next morning, I got a phone call. Doug, you've just been on Radio Kent. The bride is stuck on the A2. Oh, no. And that sort of developed then, that story throughout the day. And the first thing to roll up was sort of, although apparently the bride was having trouble getting there and the guests, it didn't stop the media. So we had three vans, all with the satellite dishes on top, suddenly appeared. You've got to bear in mind, this is just before Christmas. Mm. It's a white wedding.
It's a good news story.
It's a good news story. And but anyway, so if you followed it through the day, it was sort of the 12 o'clock national news. the bride is stuck on the A2, will she make it? The 6 o'clock, yes, she made it, and we're going to bring you some pictures of it at the later news. And at the 10 o'clock, it was, yes, you know, here are the pictures of the bride getting married. And,
a beautiful venue in the snow.
In the snow.
Week before Christmas.
Absolutely.
That story went international. Yeah. The same friend I talked about before rang up the next day. Hey, Doug, you got a lot of snow up your church, mate. why, how do you know that, Del? Just been on the telly, you know.
In Australia.
In Australia.
Crazy.
So you know, you're saying we've got a listener here in Australia. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And the bride, of course, got there, and everybody got there. But there were more media. Mm. There were more reporters.
People like send the reporters down to get the bride. Go and get the bride. You can get up here.
When she arrived, I mean, the funny thing was that it was a case of, oh, would you mind getting out the car over here, dear? The snow's deeper. Which was quite amusing.
It's whether she was happy or not that her wedding was on international news.
She was very happy. She sort of, she said to me as we walked, I met her. And as she was going into the church, she just turned around to me. She said, "Doug, I'm famous." which was
a good way to start married life.
It's a nice, good news story. A few days before Christmas,
it's a lovely story.
A white wedding. Yeah, a truly white.
How many weddings have you done over the years?
I don't know.
Did three in a week.
I mean, this worries me. We need. It's appropriate that we do weddings. Mm. That's obvious. Yeah, I mean, what could be more appropriate than a church that's nearly 1,000 years old but doing weddings? And also we name children.
Used for the right purpose.
Mm. What really worries me, and you say how many, and I'm not into number crunching. I mean, we've done a fair few, and I can't answer the question truthfully, Mark. But it concerns me that I don't want to become known. I don't want Dode to become known as a wedding venue. I don't want to be the guy that turned this special place into a wedding venue. Mm. That doesn't work for me. That would do. Yeah. I mean, we can do other things there, but I think what it does need, and I've been trying to do that particularly over the last few months now, is bring back a degree of the spirituality that was there long before I was there. And hopefully, if I take away that spirituality and it becomes a wedding venue, just a wedding venue, I'm totally appropriate. I'm happy that we marry people there. Then I'd have failed the place. It is that simple. I would have taken away something that was inherent within it and turned it into nothing more than something else.
Just a commercial venture.
It's not just a commercial venture. It can't be just a commercial venture. It's got to be, Mark, it's got to be that balance between needing, obviously, people to be there, but also having that solitude, etc. So number crunching, how many we do, officially, we do up to 42 in the summer. I'm at the moment much keener on really trying to explore ways of course, doing the weddings. They're very popular. You've only got to look on some of the websites to see what people say about Dode.
Yeah.
Even nice things about me, which is unusual.
Wow, yeah, that's always good.
It's finding that balance.
I noticed you had, I think it was 5-star Google rating.
Yes, we've got 5-star Hitch rating, Google rating, the various things that we do. It's difficult to get 5 stars. You can often get 3/4.
So I guess that's the thing. What you're looking to do now is to make it not just known as a wedding venue, but that you don't want people going, oh, Dode, the wedding venue. It's got to remain its mystique and, as you say, the spiritual side of things. And you're also looking at expanding out, and people can have small little business events and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that sort of has come in over the last few months, that we need to get the balance right. Mm. The odd business event, the odd networking, the odd something of that nature. The weddings obviously will always be predominant.
Yes.
But also just giving people the space to go and sit in that space and do nothing, Amanda, is important to me. Because people, I've realised that it does make a difference to some people's lives, that place. People go there, they sit there, they say, I don't want to leave. My mother never wanted to leave when she got in there. Let me live here, Doug, please. No, Mum, it's just a church in the middle of nowhere. So it's finding the balance. The balance is going to be difficult to find, but hopefully over the next year or two we will do that. We'll still do the weddings. We'll still name children.
Number of retreats, because actually meditation retreats are... I don't want to say big business because it's a cliche, but it is an activity.
It's popular.
Commercial
people
activity,
look for places,
which is more peaceable than a wedding, but still brings people to the place to enjoy it.
I think,
in a sense of contemplation.
Dode has evolved over the last 20 years. Before that, it was a ruin, and I was looking after it and making it not a ruin. The interest, the weddings, the various things we've talked about earlier are very welcome and very, very nice. But the last thing I want ever again is sort of 2,000 people turning up over an Easter weekend. it destroys the very thing that it is.
Exactly.
I don't want that. Yes. But if the weddings, they're very small, only 40 guests. They're beautiful. People love them. We can do a few other things as well, and if that then gives me the ability to sort of make Dode available, we've just started, for argument's sake, something called the Sacred Sounds of Dode, which is a chanting and drumming session the first Sunday in every month in the late afternoon, and that's really quite nice. I want things like that to go on.
And you offer mead.
Yeah, the mead. We know about the mead. Well, we have unfortunately now rolled till the end of the show. We've got just a few minutes left. Thank you so much, Doug, for sharing Dode with us.
Welcome.
It's love to know. It's
really
great
brought
to
it
him.
To life. Thank you very
it
much.
It has to know more about it and what you want to do with it. If people want to find out more, where do they need to look?
Dodevillage.com.
Dodevillage.com. And we do have to give a big shout out to Becky Bosman, who couldn't make it today with you, who has been helping you out recently with admin and stuff. So, Becky, we're going to give you a big shout out because we know you've been helping out Doug this year and he appreciates it.
Thanks, Beck.
Can I just say your Twitter handle is also pretty awesome, which is The Lost Village of Dode.
Dode Village.
The Lost Village of Dode.
Thank you very much. Now, we have got time just to now go over some of the events that are coming up.
Events, yeah.
There are events coming up. Now, there's a few in August. There's a few in September.
I've got one in July.
You've got a July one. So let me start with this one because, Mark, you're going to love this. And we're going to give you dates and times, but there's a couple I want to go into detail. We've got literally 4 minutes, plenty of time. This is something I came up with. I thought, there's not much going on. I'm going to chuck out another event there. So this has been invented by Butterflies Business Events. It's called The Speakers Platform. Be seen and be heard. It's on Friday, the 31st of August, in the evening from 6 p.m. at Fruitworks, Canterbury.
Oh, wonderful.
Are you a speaker? Would you like to practice your speaking skills? Would you like to use your skills to win a competition, giving you a chance to improve your speaking and helping to elevate yourself to a professional speaker? Mm-hmm. Then you should join us at the Speakers Platform on Friday, the 31st of August. We want to hear your business journey, your highs and your lows, your successes and your failures. All participants will be in a chance to speak in front of the prestigious judges and the audience with the possibility of winning the overall prize. So this is what happens. You enter, you get register your interest of being part of it. You submit a snippet of your intended talk. So that's a qualifying part of the competition with your profile picture and a bio. You book onto the event, which is just £15 per person. The judges will choose 4 finalists who will not be announced until the actual evening. So nobody will know who's speaking until you all turn up in the evening. And then they will present their talks, 15, 20 minute talks. The audience and the judges will vote for their favourite and then the overall winner is decided. That's going to be happening on the 31st of August. To find out more, if you actually go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/what's on, the details are on there. You can email me at Amanda@butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk to register your interest. It's a bit of fun, but I have got... So our judges are the fabulous Paul Andrews, who, as well as being a serial entrepreneur, is a former professional international speaker.
Really good MC.
And the other one of the other judges is Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, who is an international speaker. And I am just talking to somebody next week who's going to be another judge. So that's fantastic. So do enter for that. It's going to be a great fun. And, you know, if you're a speaker and you do want to look at elevating yourself to a professional speaker, come along and find out about it. Right, Mark, give us a date, time, and where is it?
Yeah, Business Doctors free event, Monday the 30th of July, starting at 2 p.m, running to 4 p.m. at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. So Business Doctor Peter Searle will be hosting this free event with Maidstone Borough Council. Straight on to ZC Media Academy, Tuesday the 16th of August, 2 to 4.30, afternoon events popular in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is at Chatham at the wonderful Dragon Co-working.
Fantastic.
St. George's Hotel, I believe. So yep. That's great. And then...
Let me fit one in here. 1st of August. So in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks Wednesday, at K Sports Cobham, is the Women in Business North Kent and Medway Open Evening. Now, these are always great fun. Women in Business, obviously, is a women network in a group, but they have great evening. They've got some amazing speakers. It's going to be a fun evening. It's from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and it's basically introducing you to women in business and what they do. So if you want to find out more about that and to book on, if you go to Eventbrite Women in Business Open Evening.
Okay. Can I just do a shout out for the Professional Speaking Association having a day event at on the 4th of September. This is PSA Southeast Stand Up, Speak Out, Be Heard, Present Your Business. Three fantastic speakers. It's an all-day event. It is unusually at the Inn on the Lake, just off the A2 at Shaun near Gravesend. So that's you can find out more about that on the PSA Southeast the Professional Speaking Association website or on Eventbrite.
Fantastic. Now, we've just got quick time, so do give us a shout out for the Networkers Networking event, because early bird tickets are now on sale.
Now on sale, and three glorious speakers. So basically, set in the stunning location of Brands Hatch Place, which is stunning.
Unfortunately, we have just 1 minute, so just give us the time, the date.
27th of September. And that's it's an all-day event, £20 for early bird tickets, available until the 26th of August. So butterflybusinessevents.co.uk/NNE.
We always like to rush towards the end of the show. One more date for your diary. Don't forget the Chimps and Tricks. I should have changed the name of this. The Chimps and Tricks charity event at Portland Hotel at Near Hive on Thursday the 19th of October from 6 to 11.30. We'll be raising funds for the Aspinall Foundation's Mega Fauna Project.
Fantastic.
We have come to the end of the show, so there'll be more details about Networkers Networking event and Chimps and Tricks coming up next week, but also just go to Butterflies Business Events /what's on and find out about those.
Loads.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to Doug for coming on today and sharing with us the Village of Dode, the Lost Village of Dode. Mark, for being my co-host, you've been wonderful.
Oh, it'll be a pleasure. Thank you.
Next week on the show, I have got Richard Bell and our guest is Tracy Ferguson. We'll be back next week. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye. The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.